House Committee on Health Care to order. We aren't going to do 205 and 206 today, committee. It turns out they're in conflict. 205 deletes the section that 206 adds, which doesn't necessarily seem like the best plan. So we're going to amend.
Yeah, where's your sense of adventure?
We're going to amend 205 into 206 to solve that problem. And we'll repost it when we expect the amendments to be ready. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 207. And we have an amendment on Senate Bill 207. And we have both the Bar Association Administrative Law Section here to propose the amendment. And we have the board here to object to the amendment. So not being used to having any conflict in this committee, this should be an interesting session. Can I ask both of you to come forward? All three of you, or however many of you. Yeah, Senate Bill 207. With the dash, we're going to look at the dash one amendments today. And you have a hand-engrossed version of the 207 in your stack in front of you. Could we start with you? Please introduce yourself and describe the amendment. We heard about it when you were here before, but we actually have the amendment in front of you now, in front of us now.
Certainly, Chair Greenlick and members of the committee. My name is Steve Risberger. I'm the chair of the Administrative Law Section of the Oregon State Bar. The amendment makes a number of improvements in our view over the existing bill, but there are two in particular that I'd like to emphasize if I could. The first being is that it would require advance notice to naturopaths who are subject to a compelled order for a medical or mental examination. The second piece is a right to request an accelerated and limited hearing in response to requests for compelled mental or physical examination. This would be, a limited hearing just to two issues. One, whether or not the board had complied with its own procedures in ordering a mental or physical exam, and secondly, whether there was an adequate factual basis to support that request for a compelled physical or mental exam. Thank you.
And you said there were several boards that currently have this and several that don't. Is that right?
At this point in the state of Oregon, I do not believe there is a board that currently has this particular language attached to their right to compel a medical or physical examination.
Are there any questions of witness? Please.
So for us to understand the importance of the amendment is to assure that there's a due process provision so that someone who maybe accused who feels like it's unjust can have some recourse. Is that basically what we're talking about?
That's correct. A compelled medical exam or a mental exam places a significant hardship on an individual. It's an expensive proposition. It necessarily involves the disclosure of confidential personal and medical information. It also could lead to some stigmatization, or it could have a stigmatizing effect if it becomes knowledge outside the board itself that this kind of exam has been ordered.
Please. What kind of cost are we talking about that could be placed on the person who's being investigated?
I've heard a range of figures from a low of $500 to something in the neighborhood of a couple thousand dollars. It may be that the board would have better information about that than myself.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Risberger, have you seen the letter from the board from May 3rd with their concerns about the Dash 1 amendments?
I have not, unfortunately.
Well, if we could get you a copy, the most compelling argument in the letter for me is their second concern listed here about the timing factor, you know, the time that's to allow due process to take place and, you know, the board being able to keep someone from practicing if there is an issue. And I was wondering if you would be open to some amendments around that particular issue, because I understand the timeliness issue on the board's part, but I think the due process issues are also compelling. So that, to me, seems to be of the highest concern of all of their concerns from the board.
We're certainly willing to negotiate a potential compromise regarding our amendment. I'm sorry, I was a bit distracted. Could you repeat the...
Well, just in general, that I think that's the most important argument here on from their concern on the dash one, primarily because, you know, while due process is taking place, the longer it goes out, the longer that person can practice, and that might be an issue. But, I mean, there's how the balance is, too, is what I guess I'm looking for.
Ms. Walsh, would you like to talk to us about the letter that might about what your position is?
Certainly. Representative Greenlee, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ann Walsh. I'm the executive director for the Board of Naturopathic Examiners. I apologize for not being available last week, but circumstances prevented it. My understanding is the board is, when the board originally, the concept for this law came to the board, there were concerns about the rate at which the profession is growing and the ability to maintain a level of protection for the public should we start getting more complaints that require more attention. And so we started looking at BMEs, some of their language on how they handled situations where a doctor came to the board that there were questions on his competency. And right now we really have no recourse. And so what the board was looking for was some authority to, like, make certain that a doctor that's under investigation is actually competent to practice, either physically, if there's a drug dependency problem, if there's physical issues that need to be looked at, that we be able to do that without any extra time that doctor, number one, is out of practice, and number two, that the public safety may be jeopardized. And that's just the bottom line for where that law
and
started.
The law requires an evaluation at the person's own expense. Is that right under the
correct? Yes,
the law
as
you have it. So I think that's the expense we're talking about. But could you explain why it's a problem to have due process for somebody that you're
well, my understanding is there is due process, Representative Greenlee. Any licensee that feels that they are being unfairly accused or allegations are made against them or their practice have recourse, and I don't know what the statute is, it's 183, and I don't know the rest of the language, where they can contest
in
the
circuit
actions
court,
of the board.
Is that right?
Correct.
So in order to contest your board, they have to go to circuit court?
Which would be a public thing.
Right, which makes it then a public.
Seems like a barrier, huh? Senator Mount?
If you see a problem with filing a lawsuit saying I'm being investigated and I want to stop the investigation?
No, I don't think you're confident at all. If you're a lawyer, it doesn't matter if you're going to tell anybody about it anyhow, right?
President
Mr. Chair, I think clearly here the issue is balancing the protection of personal liberties with public safety, and you have to carefully weigh that balance. And so the question on the public safety side is the board, do you have the authority to protect the public in an emergency? I mean, without going to say you have violated, you have a gross violation, and the public safety is in jeopardy, therefore, we are going to close you down because of this gross negligence, whatever reason you think it's gross negligence. And I think that you do have that authority today in the statute, and all of our boards have that authority. But on the personal liberty side, protection of their privacy and due process, is that if you are going to demand that someone be held accountable for their competency or their mental state, that you need to prove, or not prove, you need to provide some evidence that that's in question. And my little experience with boards is that they tend to overplay their hand, quite frankly. And I'm not talking about your board, but that I think all these boards need to have consistent rules for due process, and that every board should be treated the same. And it is truly about the public safety, privacy, or personal liberty issue. And so, quite frankly, I'm supportive of the Dash One Amendment as long as, you know, that balance is maintained. But truly, I think that the balance isn't there right now, and that it leans too much to the board side. And I would like to see it change.
I was speaking with the bar representative earlier, talking about next session's possibility introducing this amendment for all the boards. And it seems to me it's not a bad idea. Are there other questions of witnesses? Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My question is, I agree with Representative Maurer about the need for some due process, and I do support the amendment. My question is whether the 20 days is going to be something that works. The 20 days is what's in the amendment, but I'd like to hear about, is that too long? Is 10 days not enough? Is there some number that you can come up with that balances both the public safety and the rights of the... Any of you, go ahead.
Chair Greenlick and Representative Bonamici, we would be more than willing, if it makes a difference to the board, to compromise regarding the appeal period. Currently it's 20 days in the version of the amendments before you. We would be willing to shorten that to 10 days if that would be helpful from the board's perspective.
I said the opposite may be true. I'm not sure. I'm trying to read that paragraph. Could you? Do you think the time is too long or too short?
Well, I represent Greenlight. I'm not certain, still certain that it's needed. And I have some concerns with adding amendments to the language of our bill when there are other bills or other laws out there for other health professions that have the language we currently have and don't have questions or concerns with the length of time on it.
So you feel a lot more comfortable if we added it to all the others?
I would like to see maybe this be looked at and somebody take the time to look at the bill and whether how it affects the profession as language is written in the other CME, I believe has it. Well, I know they have it, and the nursing board and chiropractic, and I think there's several other health agencies that have this kind of language in law currently. That's where we got ours, was from Board of Medical Examiners, and in speaking to them, they haven't had any problems with licensees' rights being jeopardized. And I don't believe our board is out to get licensees.
Did they tell you how many people actually took it to court to object to?
No. According to the Board of Nursing, nobody had. But I did not ask that question at the Board of Medical Examiners.
So in answer to the time question, I interpret your answer to be that spinach and to hell with it?
Could I just say no?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, if the board feels like the public safety is at risk, I mean, I don't think there's anybody that's going to say you don't have authority today to pull that license now. I mean, instantaneously pull that license. And if there is a question about whether or not the request is valid, then I think that maybe 20 days is appropriate. Because then maybe there isn't a serious question about public safety.
Representative Greenlock, Representative Maurer, the board's authority currently is, we have an emergency suspension right. Mm-hmm. We can pull a doctor's license. That's immediately known to the public, that we have pulled the doctor's license. If we pull the doctor's license because we aren't sure if he's competent, but there are things that have happened in his practice that we have concerns with, and we pull it for an emergency for those areas, then I feel like he may not be getting a fair shake in having an evaluation done before the public already knows exactly. We have to list out why we have taken his license in an emergency situation. And if we feel he's not competent without an evaluation first, I just think, I don't know, I kind of see it as a tool to making sure that we are regulating practitioners appropriately, that we're not making judgment calls on doctors' health care, on their personal health care.
Mr. Risberger, can I ask about the 20 days? If the board wants to do it in 5 days, can the board do it in five? I mean, I request this hearing. This doesn't say they can't do it before 20 days, does it? It says they must do it within 20 days.
Well, if I recall correctly, and maybe we should take a closer look at.
The licensee or other person may request a contested case hearing on the order within 20 days after receiving the notice.
That's the appeal period. In other words, a party has within 20 days after receiving the board's notice of compelled examination to request a hearing. And what we're proposing is to shorten that period to a shorter period, to 10 days, to resolve some of the concerns that the board has. There's a further issue, of course, I think that you're bringing up, and that is how soon does the hearing occur after it's requested? And that's not something that I think is specifically covered by our amendments, but if there's concern about that, we certainly would be willing to include a specific time period and, if necessary, a very short time period for that hearing to occur. 5 days under the circumstances may be reasonable. We're talking about a show cause hearing where we're primarily going to be hearing evidence from the board, and probably the licensee would not be in a position where they would need to gather a lot of evidence to participate in a meaningful manner in that hearing.
I mean, that's a can of worms we don't necessarily want to open.
Okay.
If we pick up the Dashwood amendments, or actually, let's get a motion to put the Dashwood amendments on the floor. We can talk about that.
Mr. Chair, I move that the Dashwood amendments be added to Senate Bill 207.
What I was going to say is, I think, don't listen, Sandy, I think we could take a conceptual amendment to that amendment to change that 20 to 10, if that makes sense.
Mr. Chair, you might just want to make it even less, because it's notice of hearing. This could take longer than the 10 days, and
I get a letter. It says they're going to compel me. Now the question is, how much time do I have to respond to that hearing?
Right. And if they go to this length, there's probably some urgency, so we might even consider 5 days. I only bring that up because that's just giving them the time to respond. There could be extra days for the hearing and things like that. The key issue is giving them time to respond and what that time frame is. And I think if you make it too long, then I think you run into the challenges the board has in terms of, you know, expediting the discussion. Yeah.
Representative Cannon?
Well, I mean, I can see the direction this committee is heading. I'm not at all convinced that it ought to be heading in that direction. I think that certainly we do need to weigh these public safety versus due process. I'm all for due process, but with all respect, we're not talking about a civil or criminal court proceeding. We're talking about a regulatory board that is out to protect the public, and I think that should it choose to err on the side of protections, that is appropriate. I'm also looking at the letter from the Department of Justice General Counsel Division, which I think speaks to this issue in its points 6 and 7, where the attorney, counsel, notes that evaluation orders under Senate Bill 207 are subject to legal challenge by licensees. So there is opportunity for the licensee to bring up a legal challenge, and that
that's in the in your bill file from last time.
Right, and that providing for legal challenge in circuit court is more efficient than providing for a right to administrative hearing. And counsel goes on to make the point that the administrative hearing, which I gather is the route that the amendment would steer people down, is a much more lengthy and process that would leave licensees as well as patients with additional time for exposure. So I guess I think just in general, in principle, I feel like these boards ought to be given more tools, not fewer, in order to help maintain the reputation and of their profession and the safety of their patients.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Flores,
go ahead, or hand it before I do.
Representative
Flores? Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and it's just a comment to Representative Cannon's comment. I was wondering if the Department of Justice, if you had any knowledge, if they were aware of the Dash 1 amendments, and would, because I don't see them addressing them in their letter or their memo here, and I just wondered if they had any knowledge or had an opportunity to review them.
No, and I gather, I may be trying to pull myself up to speed.
Representative Flores, John Amatnich, who is the legal counsel for the Board of Naturopathic Examiners, did review the Dash 1 amendments. We went over them together, and I went over them with the board members, and she has seen the letter that I submitted today for your consideration, or Friday, I guess I sent it.
The letter that was in your packet today that's addressed to Representative Kotek, that is the letter that Ann is referring to, that Johanna has reviewed and made significant input on the Dash 1 amendments in that letter.
But that's from the board, and whereas this is from the department.
That is the board's assistant.
That's our legal counsel.
That's their legal counsel.
Okay, Johanna. So they had seen the Dash 1s and made that evaluation, even though she doesn't address them in her memo. Thank you.
Correct.
Representative Maher?
Yes. So, if I may, the Dash 1s don't change the board's authority to step in immediately. The Dash 1s don't change the licensee's ability to go to circuit court. The Dash 1s don't compel the licensee to request an administrative hearing. The licensee can just comply with the request for whatever exam. It's only under those situations where they believe that they're unfairly being asked to do something, or may feel like they are unfairly being asked to do something, that they might request this administrative hearing, or they could choose to go to circuit court. And then, so I guess a question I have is the administrative hearing a private process, or is there a public disclosure in this discovery process?
Mr. Roseberger? It is certainly possible to make this hearing one that would not be public knowledge, and that's something that's not specifically addressed in our amendments, but if you take a look at the language of the bill, it does set out a confidential process for requesting a medical examination or mental examination, and I think in conjunction with that language, this amendment could include similar provisions that would provide for that specifically.
Representative Bonamici?
Representative Maurer asked my question. Thank you.
President Kote, you?
Mr. Chair, I just need a clarification. So what this applies to is requiring the person who has had a complaint lodged against them to submit to an evaluation at their expense. But as going back to Representative Maurer's point, as I'm reading Section 3 in the original bill, you can do everything else. You don't even have to do. You could still suspend someone's or ask them to stop practicing based on other things besides asking them to take an examination. Am I correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
I was just going to reiterate that this is just another tool, just an opportunity, a tool for the board to use in assessing competency of a doctor during an investigation, and investigations are confidential.
Thank you.
Just to clarify, there is no current need that you see for this other than the fact that the number of naturopaths is increasing and that there may be a need in the future, and therefore you've looked at BME's powers and how they do things and saying that maybe we need to have that as well. And so the bill comes forward anticipating there may be a need in the future, and then the discussion is, as the bill is currently worded, would it not be appropriate to have a way to have an accused or someone that's being investigated have the ability to challenge the board's requirement that they go and get this exam and that they're going to pay for it? And so, I mean, but you're saying, yes, that's true, but we'd like to have everything the BME has, but whatever you have is more than what you've got right now, right?
Correct, Dr. Richardson.
Okay. We're saying maybe it'd be good to have something to assure that there's some means for somebody that may feel like they're being accused unfairly or whatever to have a way out, and we have a bunch of boards that have all kinds of different ways to deal with this.
Yeah, and maybe we want to standardize it during the next session.
Right.
Representative Cannon, you want to... I'm still no vote
on this amendment. I have this sort of philosophical disposition that it's a board that regulates its profession. Let them regulate it the way they want. If they want more tools for it, then give them more tools. And I understand due process, but again, we're not talking about someone who's going to be stamped with a civil or criminal penalty. It's just their livelihood. Yes,
which is their livelihood.
It's significant, but I think it rises to a different threshold for my comfort for due process.
Mr. Chair. Thank you. I've been listening to the discussion, and I agree that the loss of one's livelihood is a pretty substantial penalty. That said, it's hard for me to understand why we would compel this particular board to a different standard than other boards, where we would come back in a later legislative session to put these protections in for other boards and make the Board of Naturopaths go first. And it seems like there are external off-ramps to provide these protections for the individuals who are being investigated. And as a consumer, I would like to know that the regulatory board has appropriate tools to keep me safe from individuals that might not be fit to practice.
Well, the answer is simple. It's because they've come to us asking for expanded authority. So the bill is in front of us right now with them asking for authority they don't currently have. And the question is, do we want to give them the full scope of authority they're asking for, or do we want to limit it to a certain extent? But that's the reason it's them and not somebody else. I suspect if the BME was here asking for expanded authority, we'd have the same discussion. I mean, that's why them and not somebody else. They're here.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, maybe we can ask Mr. Risberger and Mr. Neville to explain why now as opposed to waiting until we do everybody else to address the issue with other boards.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Bonamici, I'm David Niebel. I work for the Oregon State Bar, and I think that this is an issue that the administrative law section has been concerned about with respect to the agencies that have this power now for a number of years. They frequently represent licensees before these boards with this power, and they think that more due process is appropriate. They have discussed trying to institute some kind of due process procedure in the agencies that have this power now and have not gotten anywhere in negotiations with those agencies. And so when a board comes forth and asks, like in this session, when the naturopathic board came forth and asked for this extension of power, it seemed like an appropriate time to make this point and to try to limit the extension of this power to the extent that the administrative law section is able to do that.
Mr. Chair.
didn't we have this discussion? Was it the pharmacy board that had a bill? And they said not only do we want to be able to require an exam, but we also want to be able to assess on the licensee all the costs that we incur in our investigation and so forth. And we had a letter from an attorney saying that, who does this kind of work, saying, I would have to tell the person, understand, if you challenge the board, and they can end up charging you for all the investigation. It could be $30,000 to $50,000, and they control that.
It was Mr. Risberger who was here bringing us amendments to that bill.
Right, and Mr. Massell.
And Mr. Massell was one of the guys that was involved.
But they were of the same sex.
And both participated.
Right.
Same sex in that issue.
Right. And what happened with that bill is that the Board of Pharmacy said, we'll withdraw our request for the cost and the expanded powers, rather than slow down the bill. So they removed that provision from the bill rather than slow it down.
This kind of goes to Representative Gelser's question that the different boards, all this is all in flux right now. But what we have is this board at this point that's coming before us today.
Well, we have a motion. Let's have a roll call on the motion to adopt the Dash 1 amendments.
Mr. Chair? Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
So if the Dash 1 amendments were adopted, would you still have additional tools beyond what you have now? That the bill, as amended, would give you more tools in terms of regulating your naturopaths than what would happen without any bill at all?
Correct. It would probably, I can't give you a timeline on how long, much longer it would add on to an investigation and how much more complicated it could get for both the doctor and the consumer waiting for these extra steps to go to happen.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether we do it before.
An amendment to
the amendment.
To the motion.
Should we do it first? Okay. Do you have an amendment to the motion?
Mr. Chair, I would make an amendment to the motion to adopt the Dash 1 amendments and by intermediation or conceptual amendment change the number 20 to
number
10.
Yes. And, Mr. Chair, I'll repeat that. We have an amendment to the motion to adopt the Dash 1s with a conceptual change on the Dash 1 amendments, line 18, where it says order within 20 days, change that 20 to 10. And that's the only location where there's a day, okay? So that is your motion.
And I think we need to vote on, is there any objection to the 10 rather than 20 before we get objections to the motion? Is that okay? So moved. Now we have a motion in front of us. That's the Dash 1 with a conceptual change. And let's have a roll call on the motion, please.
Representative
Bonaducci. Aye.
Representative Grove.
Aye.
Representative Cannon.
No.
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative Shelton.
Aye.
Senator
Mauer.
Aye.
Vice Chair
Kozak.
Aye.
Vice Chair
Rosenkin.
Aye.
Aye. We have the Dash 1 amended amendment as amended in House Bill 207. I do need to remind you that will give the Senate another shot at this.
Senate bill, right.
when it gets back to the Senate. And if they don't like it, we'll end up with a for the Conference Committee on it.
Mr. Chair, are we moving right to the vote?
No, we're going to have discussion now.
Okay. Well, we don't have a motion.
Oh, you're here? Let's move right to the vote.
We need a motion.
We'll move right to the vote, unless there's discussion. Is there a motion to adopt 207 as amended?
We move 207 as amended.
Okay. Is there discussion? And so we'll send Representative Mauer on his way. If not, let's vote. Karen?
Aye.
Aye.
Senator
Cannon.
Aye.
Senator
Flores.
Aye.
Senator Dawson.
Aye.
Senator
Mauer.
Aye.
Vice
Chair Kozak.
Aye.
Vice
Chair Rosenkin. Aye. Senate Bill 207 goes to the floor as amended. Dennis, you want to carry this?
Sure, okay.
Representative Richardson will carry the bill. Hey, Ron. Ron?
Why don't we call you if we need to? I think we can go through the other ones without you.
Yeah, okay.
Let's move. Oh, yes. My lesson. Close the work session on Senate Bill 208.
207.
207. We're going to open a work session on House Bill 208. Sandy, you want to tell us about this one?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 208 is another naturopathic examiner bill. It authorizes the board to place voluntary limitations on the license of a naturopathic practitioner as requested by an applicant or a licensee. It prohibits the BNE from issuing a limited license to licensees under investigation, probation, or whose license is under suspension. It exempts certain naturopathic physicians licensed in other jurisdictions from licensure requirements under certain conditions. And that's a limited access for naturopathic physicians to come and do some educational work from other states. This has no revenue or impact. And like we mentioned in the subcommittee, there were left the Senate floor with 29 ayes and one no vote.
And we, this was brought to us by the board as well?
Correct.
Are there any discussion? Can I have a motion to adopt? We'll have discussion.
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 208 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Is there any discussion? Any discussion on it? Aaron, will you call the roll, please?
Representative Barney. Aye.
Representative
Brooks.
Aye.
Representative Canning.
Aye.
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative Malin. Excuse.
Vice
Chair Brooks. Aye. Vice Chair Brooks. Aye. Senate Bill 208 moves to the floor. How about the consent calendar on this one? Motion?
Mr. Chair, I would move that we have the House consider House Senate Bill 208A on the consent calendar.
Is there any objection? 208A, we'll go on the consent calendar. Close a work session on Senate Bill 208. Open a work session on Senate Bill 209. Sandy, you want to talk to us about this?
Again, Mr. Chair, this bill comes to us at the request of the Naturopathic Examiners Board. The bill is modifying educational requirements for two members of the Council of Naturopathic Physicians formulary. You may recall their current language refers to pharmacology and pharmacognosy. And the latter of those terms is getting harder and harder to find folks educated in that, and I believe there's no degree program in that discipline anymore, so they're requesting that that language be changed for more current terminology, that being pharmacology and medical or pharmaceutical science.
An advanced degree,
correct. No fiscal or revenue on this. This also left the Senate floor with 26 ayes, 2 noes, and 2 excused.
I got a C in a 3-hour class in pharmacognosy in 1954. You think that would qualify me?
I don't think I'll even grandfather you.
Well, we do have, does everybody have this letter from?
I believe we emailed it to you. I believe the members have that in their packet, okay. A letter to Representative Greenlick.
Great.
And for the, Mr. Chair, yeah?
Yes.
For the members who are on the Access Subcommittee, we didn't work these bills because we didn't schedule them for work sessions, but we did hear all those, and there wasn't any concern on this particular bill. It was just a matter of trying to make it easier to find people to fill their slots on the board. So, Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 209 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Is there any discussion? Aaron, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Bonamici.
Aye.
Representative Bruin.
Aye.
Representative Cannon.
Aye.
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative Gelson.
Aye.
Representative Dowler.
Excuse.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 209 to the floor on the consent calendar.
Is there any objections to that? It's moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation on the consent calendar. Close the work session on Senate Bill 209. Open a work session on Senate Bill 620. This is adding the naturopathic physicians to Sandy.
Okay, so
can you tell us?
Senate Bill 620 is defining naturopathic physician. It expands the definition of a physician used by the Department of Transportation. There's been some confusion on different agencies Naturopathic physicians are primary care physicians, and some agencies are not recognizing them as primary care physicians. So this is redefining so that Department of Transportation will include naturopathic physicians in any sort of documentation that's submitted to DMV. And also, it specifies that naturopathic physicians can submit reports to the state health officer regarding the abilities of a person with mental or physical conditions or impairment for the operating of a motor vehicle. There was also some questions on the way the bill is written in subcommittee. This was heard in the policy sub. Representative Bonamici had a question about page 2, lines 36 and 42, where it makes a transition. It uses the word and in there, and there was a question about whether or not that should be or. Legislative Council is told me that that's totally appropriate, and if the committee needed to make any other changes, we could add a word, but they were not going to support changing the word to and or, so it's fine.
This was also heard in...
Yes, Mr. Chair, we also heard this in the policy subcommittee, and again, no issue. DMV is fine with the change. It was just one of those things. They're fine to make the clarification, and again, we have another one of those clarifying in statute somewhere else what the definition of naturopathic physician is. So, good bill, Mr. Chair.
A motion?
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 620 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Is there any discussion? Mary, please call the roll.
Representative Barnes.
Aye.
Representative Bruin.
Aye.
Representative Sands.
Aye.
Representative Flores.
Aye.
Representative
Shelter.
Aye.
Representative
Ballard.
Excuse.
Vice
Chair Goodman.
Aye.
Vice Chair Goodman.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 620 to the floor on the consent calendar.
Is there any objection? Senate Bill 620 moves to the floor on the consent calendar. And I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 620 and open a work session on Senate Bill 531A.
Senate Bill 531A comes from the Senate side. There's no fiscal or revenue. Floor vote. Senate floor votes were 29 ayes and 1 excused. The bill increases the number of physician assistants on the physician assistant committee from 2 to 3 physician assistant. It eliminates the pharmacist member of that committee, and it clarifies the authority of the Board of Medical Examiners to license physician assistants.
It turns out they've been licensing it for a long time, but they didn't exactly have the authority to do it. And this is the committee that advises. Representative Kotek, you heard this one.
Yes, Mr. Chair, we did hear this in policy. This is the committee under the Board of Medical Examiners that advises on physician assistants. And interestingly enough, they didn't have, unlike other advisory boards, a majority on the advisory board to the BME. So this is making sure that there are 3 physician's assistants out of the 5 members, I believe.
Mr. Chair? Yes. I think the other interesting thing that we learned was not only do they not have the majority, they also do not have a representative that sits on the BME.
Yeah, the podiatrists have a representative. Okay. They don't. They'll be back with that next time.
And Mr. Chair, so just to clarify, this does not change the composition of the Board of Medical Examiners.
It's the advisory committee on
right.
Medical assistance to the board.
And then, Mr. Chair, the other housekeeping, as you mentioned, clarifying that BME can actually license them. That's what's on page 2.
We did that, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Representative Kotek, you have a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 531A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Is there any discussion? Would you call the roll, please?
Aye.
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 Excuse?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Is this another consent calendar one?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, I think it would be. I would move Senate Bill 531A to the floor on the consent calendar.
Is there any objection? Hearing none. Senate Bill 521 goes to the floor. 531 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation and on the consent calendar. And I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 531. still have time to get done before we have to get to the floor. I'll open a work session on Senate Bill 641. Representative Kotek, you also heard that.
Well, Mr. Chair, what I would say is of the physician assistant bills we heard, this was probably the most interesting of the three in that it is trying to address an issue that's occurring in rural areas where currently if you are looking to get certification of a disability in terms of the Department of Fish and Wildlife, currently physician's assistants cannot sign those forms, and that came to everyone's attention, and they thought they should change that. Senator Montes Anderson testified or wanted to testify, but we went through it so quickly she wasn't here. But we did hear from the Department of Fish and Wildlife. They're fine with this, as well as the physician's assistants. It's good to know, Mr. Chair.
And the Dash 1 amendments are to give an emergency clause so it can apply in this hunting season.
Oh, excellent. Well, Mr. Chair, I would move the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 641.
Is there any discussion of the Dash 1s? Any objection? Dash 1s are added to Senate Bill 641. Motion on the bill?
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 641 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Is there any discussion? Aaron, would you please call the roll?
Senator Bonney.
Aye.
Senator Bruin.
Aye.
Senator Cannon.
Aye.
Senator
Flores.
Aye.
Senator
Jelker.
Aye.
Senator
Bauer. Excused.
Aye.
Vice
Chair
Richardson. Aye. Aye.
I have so few opportunities to talk about fishing and hunting, I would be happy to carry this bill.
Excellent.
I think people would find this interesting.
Senate Bill 641 goes to the floor with a due pass recommendation, carried by Representative Gilson. Started getting the hunting and fishing vote.
She's trying to exercise her outdoorsy side.
Yes. That's not going to be too believable. I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 641. 641, right? Yeah. And open a work session on Senate Bill 678. Representative Kotek, you heard this one as well?
Yes, and I'm trying to remember it, Mr. Chair.
Well, Sandy, can you help?
Sure. It left such an impression.
This was a very important bill that said when a physician supervisor is away, they can name somebody else to supervise the PA. Right?
Correct.
And it's at the request of the Oregon Society for Physician Assistance. There was a definition in administrative rules, but not in statute.
Right.
And so we needed the bill to align administrative rules through the Board of Medical Examiners and put it in statute. So it was consistent. So it's a housekeeping bill.
Just had five negative votes on the floor of the Senate for some reason.
Oh. Well, Mr. Chair, we heard from a reliable source on our committee that
semi-reliable
source, that there might be some issues on the Senate side in terms of competing for the number of no votes. So we don't know quite sure if there was an actual issue on this housekeeping bill. But with that, Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 678A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Is there any discussion on Senate Bill 678A? Call the roll, please.
Aye.
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 Excused.
Aye.
Aye.
And Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 678A to the floor on the consent calendar.
Is there any objection? Senate Bill 678A moves to the floor on the consent calendar. I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 678A. Look at what time it is, team.
Mr. Chair, I would request a suspension of the rules in order that I be able to vote on Senate Bills 205 and 206, and I apologize for my delay since I was in a conference.
No problem. Is there we haven't. We held 205 and 206. It turns out one
time. But I don't want to vote on them.
You can vote it. Put it in the fridge, and we can bring it back out.
Very well. I thought we're really expediting it.
No, we're going to be amending 205 into 206 to deal with the conflicts.
Very well.
One adds a section and the other deletes that same section. So I thought we might want to straighten that one out.
We're not completely done with the naturopathic.
No. We're going to get that back. When we get it back, it'll be back on the floor.
Perfect.
I'm sorry, back in the committee. Or someplace. All right. We're adjourned.